stand for the reading of the gospel? Today's reading comes from Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Here ends the reading.
You may be seated. Yeah, that was rough. Some of you guys might have just come to Alliance for the first time, and you're probably thinking, these people are messed up. Everybody's crying. And to be fair, like, if you were ever to come on any other Sunday, I would have chose this one. And I've said it twice now, and I'll say it the third time. I don't think there'd be any other place I'd rather be but right here with you. And I chose this passage, and I don't get 45 minutes today, so I'm going to try to make this sweet and short. But I chose this passage because 10 years ago, this is what I preached from. And it was in a coffee shop, after hours, and Adam and I didn't know if anybody was going to show up. Over the 10 years, as you have already heard this morning, God has been abundantly faithful. One of the things that has been just such a joy for us and why there is some emotion this morning is that when you get to visualize the response of God to your prayers, it is such a humbling event. There was a time when I was in Dallas where I was thinking, "Lord, I can't wait to hear my family, the church body that you allow us to fellowship with, sing." And just this morning, I was just so grateful. Be able to hear your voices, not just out of singing out of a duty, but a genuine just thankfulness for what God has done over these last 10 years. And so with all that said, while there's no other place I'd rather be, there is no other passage that I would like to focus in on it as this conversation that Jesus had. Because to be fair, there are many conversations and many opinions on the person of Christ Jesus and who he is. And even as Jesus' ministry began to develop, the perception that people had is they couldn't quite figure him out. They knew that he was a man that was incredibly wise. He demonstrated power that was not merely human. In fact, we get to Matthew chapter 6. It follows 16 chapters preceding it, in which he heals people. He casts out demons. Leprosy is healed. He walks on water. He feeds the 5,000. He has demonstrated that he's not just merely man. He has this wisdom that is of God and power that is clearly of God. And he retreats. Matthew chapter 16, drawing his disciples with him. And he asks them this question: "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Jesus himself knew, along with the disciples, that there were many opinions that still echo to this day on who Jesus Christ is. And when they heard the question, the disciples as a whole responded saying, "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." The people recognized the authority and the power which Christ, which reflected that of a prophet. In fact, on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus had finished his teaching, in verse 28, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. the interpretation that the crowds gave regarding the person or the attribute of who Christ is wasn't unreasonable. In fact, to give him the title of prophet was an honorable, of credit given to him by human standards, but that is. And when Jesus hears this reflection from the disciples that some say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, it wasn't to this that Jesus said, I will build my church. It's important. There was a time in which in the Old Testament, prophets would say, thus says the Lord, as Amos said. Jeremiah declared, thus says the Lord. Isaiah declared, thus says the Lord. Micah, Haggai, Zechariah, thus says the Lord. But when Jesus came as the fulfillment of the messianic promise and as the Son of Man, he said, truly I say to you. It was an honorable title to be recognized by the crowds as a prophet. But he did not preach like one of the prophets. For he said, truly, truly, I say to you. He emphasized this just even a few chapters earlier, Matthew chapter 13, verse 17. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. As I said already, it was an honorable attribution by the people, but it was insufficient. And it wasn't upon this declaration which Jesus said, I will build my church. For which of the prophets ever enjoyed a virgin birth? Or for which of the prophets drew magi from the east, a star placed above in the heavens, which guided Gentile people to come and worship? Tell me, if you remember, if you know of, which a prophet, when going and preaching before the people, when being baptized or calling those to be baptized, the heavens roll back, and the Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For which of the prophets were found faultless? Faultless against the temptations of Satan, righteous all the days of their life. Yes, it was an honorable title to give him prophet. And I say these things not just for Grace Church, I say these things to a reminder to us all, Reliance. How we define the person of Jesus Christ is sufficient, because when it was properly interpreted on who he was, it was then which Jesus said, I will build my church. Get the person of Christ wrong, everything else is like the foundation is like sand which falls apart. And so after asking what the people said, Jesus then turned to the disciples. Who do you say that I am? Peter's initial response is going to affirm three things. Remember, in the question which Jesus asked, he asked, who do you say that the Son of Man is? In Peter's response, he is at first affirming that Jesus indeed is the Son of Man. And it is often understood or maybe misunderstood that for someone to claim to be the person of Son of Man was for Christ to stress his humanity. Indeed, Jesus was fully human. But Jesus, within all the Gospels, he actually identifies himself as the Son of Man. And if it truly means only Son of Man, there is nothing impressive of Jesus using the title. But the fact that Jesus uses this title Son of Man, and Peter affirming the right for Jesus to use the title Son of Man, it affirmed the prophet's proclamation in Daniel that one day someone will come who's like us, but not like us. To him will be given all authority. To him reserves the right of all creation itself, the one who has been given the right to rule for all creation, for all eternity. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who is that one who has been given all things, to whom will rule, fulfilling the Davidic covenant as a king for all eternity? And Peter says, in his answer, he first acknowledges that it is him. This is why Jesus, when he begins his ministry, he says, Matthew 4:17, his first words, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, is at hand. He is the Son of Man. And Peter then goes on to further clarify the person of Christ. You are the Christ. Simon Peter saying, you are the long-awaited Messiah. Yet today we recognize that in some perspectives, those who do not know the fullness of Christ, he is not Jesus Christ as meaning that that is his last name. No, he is the promised anointed Messiah at the response of man's sin. In the midst of sin, God promised a Messiah, someone to come, reverse the curse. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the long-awaited Messiah, to whom everything has been granted and given. For Peter knew the prophets. Isaiah 9:6-7. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government of peace or of peace on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Who do you say that I am? You are the Son of Man. You are the promised one. And then he says, the Son of the living God. His reference to the Son of the living God, the eternal image of the Father who has incarnated himself amongst humanity, he is Yahweh incarnate. You are the Son of the living God. To use the term living God, it is a clear understanding, I know, but to suggest and to state that the gods of the world worship are dead, but you are the Son of the one who lives. And not only that, from whom humanity finds its life. Psalm 42:1-2. This is how they use the term. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. My existence is found through the grace of God, which he provides it, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for why? You are the living God. To turn elsewhere is to find a dead one. When shall I come and appear before God? Israel knew, just as the prophets declared, Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Who do you say that I am? Son of Man, the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, it was upon that declaration that Jesus said, I will build my church. You get that wrong, I don't know what we're doing. And as generation has passed throughout every generation, it has found itself finding its foundation on the person of Christ as he has revealed himself. And Peter, after affirming this and Christ acknowledging the truth of it, he says, I will build my church. And Peter, you're going to play a significant role in the establishment of this church. And Peter himself is going to witness in his first sermon, as he declares these truths, the church be established. one last thing. Christ said, I will build my church. He did not say, Peter, you'll build it. He didn't say to John, you're going to do it. He didn't say to any of the apostles or even Paul himself, you will build the church. No, Jesus, praise God, this is true. Because if you know me and you know anyone else in this room, there's nothing impressive about us. That Jesus takes on the responsibility that he will build his church. That's good news. For if we were to build it by our own reputation, we're doomed. For we might be able to put up a good front for a bit, but we all know for at one point it will falter. But because Jesus says, I will build my church, then with this declaration, he can also place a promise. You'll see it in verse 18. I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Should have it underlined, Reliance in Grace Church, just to be the means by which you are reminded by it when you read it. And because I'm building it, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. We're in Tri-Cities. The promise was given in Jerusalem. And we, throughout every generation, have seen the faithfulness of God's promise through Christ that he will establish his church. Praise God, you and I aren't doing it. He will do it. So why I want to leave you with on this wonderful reminder of our tenure, and then what a privilege it is for us to be able to say that God has allowed us. It's such a strange thing to say that we're sending a church in light of this. Because we're just participating in it. I want to play a video for you. No, it's a video, it's an audio. 4 years ago, we told you, Reliance, that the leaders were going to go on a retreat. And I want you to hear it. Go ahead, Aaron. Here the next couple months, we have said this all along the way. We have wanted to be a ministry that could be a blessing to international work, but they've also said that we want to be a church that can be a vehicle to send healthy church plants within this community. The elders are going to go on a little retreat for several days to say, what are the goals that are necessary for this to happen? But it could be dangerous in this regard that we could think that we could make it happen. If Reliance was ever had the privilege to do a church plant, who's going to do it? Jesus. Christ will do it. Which then leads me to this, to our response. Are we praying that Christ would be doing so? Build your church. Recognizing unless God works, nothing will happen. And Alan said it. You are the answer to many prayers. 4 years ago, we were celebrating our 6th anniversary. And to think now, 4 years has been a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. And why we get emotional is the fact is that we've visually seen God's faithfulness. I will build my church. And many of people have not got that privilege. If you just walked up here on a random Sunday, you do not normally get to see a church celebrate sending a church. It's such a rare occurrence to see people send people that they love to another part of the city. But why would we do it? Because this is exactly what Christ did for us. And this is exactly what he commanded. He is the Son of Man. And he said, go forth and make disciples of all nations, So if he's the Son of Man, whom who will rule over all creation for all eternity, what does that mean? He gets to make the rules. So church, we pray. If you want to use us to church plant, show up. And it has been a delight to witness over the last 4 years to see a number of other congregations respond with sending their own. 1 Corinthians 3:6 through 7 says, as Paul reminds the church of Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. It's really nice to see God's faithfulness and to share in all the fruit which Reliance and Grace will now get to enjoy in the years ahead. Who do you say that I am? It was an honorable title to give him the position of prophet, but it was greatly insufficient. Who do you say that I am, church? You are the Son of Man to whom all nations will bow the knee. You are the promised Messiah given to all humanity, the only hope set before all mankind. You are the Son of the living God, praise God, who will endure and rule forever. Upon that, I will build my church. Don't forget it. And don't forget that after every week and every Sunday of the fruit that it can occur over 10 years. Don't minimize every Sunday or Wednesday night or small group meeting as your hearts are being discipled towards the kingdom of God. For if you do in faithfulness, God might use that heart to do this again. And if he doesn't, that's his choice. Because he is the one who builds the church. Amen? And so that's true. Reliance, we have seen a church planted today. This is our celebration, but it is also our sending off of Grace Church. I'm going to invite Grace to come up. And they have been meeting and they have been patient over the last 6-7 months to gather as a team, to pray, and to prepare for their grand opening next weekend. And so what I want to do is I want Reliance to come on, and guys, would you center up into the center right here? Go into the front in the middle alley. Yes. And we're going to pray. Go ahead, go through the middle. And Reliance, would you stand and then let's gather around them. I'm going to have Alan lead us off in prayer. And if you feel like praying, I know that they would appreciate our prayers. And let's give these people up to the work that will be done in Pasco. Go ahead, Alan.
Father, your Son indeed is the foundation of the church, and he is also our aim, Father. And so, Lord, we're so excited to celebrate 10 years. We're more excited to see the continuing growth that you are driving and causing. And so we celebrate also Grace Church. And Father, barring the return of your Son, we pray for another 10 years, Lord, that in 10 years from today, we would be celebrating again the work that you have done. And so we ask for your blessing on Grace. Thank you for Adam and Dan. Pray for faithfulness for them. Would you guard them, their team, Lord? We ask for growth and impact, all to your glory in Pasco.
of the pastors and elders who have held their greatest asset besides Christ, their own people, Father, their sheep, with such an open hand, saying, "Let your will be done, Father." And I just pray that you would bless these churches. Help them to flourish, Father. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for their servant's heart in sending, Father. And I just pray for Grace Church and all the faithful churches in this area, that your message of hope, your message of truth, Father, would continue to be faithfully proclaimed throughout this Tri-Cities area, Father, and that people would be drawn to you, that they would come to know you as Savior, Father. And for those of us who do know you, that we would be further conformed to the image of your dear Son as your word is faithfully preached, Father. Thank you so much for Dan and Adam and their heart to serve Pasco, Father, and I'm so thankful for your Spirit for moving in all of those who want to surround them and minister with them and partner with them, Father, that we might harvest the fields on that side of the creek too, Father. Thank you so much for Jesus and sending your Son, that we might have salvation in his name, Father.
Lord, you are the great shepherd. You have drawn us all together as brothers and sisters in Christ because of this, the one you promised, who is the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And we know that there are people in this city, West Richland, Richland, and in Pasco and Kennewick, who have yet to know whom will rule for all eternity. And you have been patient. We ask that you would continue to be patient with those in our city, that you would use these people to love each other in such a way that would compel the love of Christ for them, that they would be able to reach people that we couldn't reach with the love of Christ, calling each to repentance and to know who Christ is and to submit their lives to him forever. Lord, we recognize that these early days could be full of joy, but then also there is opportunity for division. Your Spirit does not divide, but rather unites. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd empower them by the Spirit to walk by your Spirit, being gracious and patient, slow to the anger, abounding in love towards one another, making visible the love of Christ to one another through their fellowship, just as we at Hero Reliance continue to walk. Walking by the Spirit, fleeing from sin and temptation, to love one another so that those around us could see visibly the love of Christ in our midst. And Lord, I pray that you would give Adam and Dan and Brian, as elders of Grace, the wisdom to make wise choices over the days ahead. And I pray that you would make them fruitful. And it is such a joy to know ourselves that you have been faithful to our prayers, not only to establish our own fellowship, but to rejoice to see that you are once again acting according to your character to send another body of believers, a church, to Pasco. We rejoice that you continue to be patient with our cities. And so with that is the case, Lord, I pray that you would redeem and save the lost through these. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go back to your seats. We're going to finish with a song. It's called Church Arise. And we recognize that while we'll be worshiping in different locations, just as Adam read in Revelation, there will be a day in which all the beloved brothers and sisters of Christ sing together as a result of the salvation they experienced in Christ.